the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, we've got preseason NFL overreactions, coaches and players stepping into Michael's office, and the AP Top 25 is out in college football. Kickoff for game one of the season, just 12 days out. Lots to get to as we welcome you into hour two of the Lombardi Line. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. He's got multiple Super Bowl rings. I can eat my body weight in onion rings. So, you know, super similar, Michael. You ready for hour two? We got lots of NFL to talk. What?
Where is the best onion ring place in Las Vegas? That's a fair question to debate. Like, onion rings have its own lane. Like, I know people talk about, and I love Matt Heumann's fast food thing. Gave you a huge shout out in there, you know, for Bojangles and your support, continued support for Bojangles. But where is onion rings in? If you're going for onion rings in Las Vegas, where are you going?
In Las Vegas, quite frankly, I'd have to give it more thought. My favorite onion rings of all time, feel free to at me if you disagree, is a place called Phil's Barbecue when I was living in San Diego. And the ranch they have, because not all ranch is created equal. You know, I'm very discriminatory when it comes to good ranch and bad ranch. And the combo of their onion ring, hyper crispy with the ranch, is just next level, my friend. So good. Do you have a favorite out there out east?
No, you know, but I think steakhouses, certain steakhouses that make onion rings do it really good, you know, and I think to me, you know, I know Morton's, they don't really actually do onion rings, but they kind of do it. It's kind of like, to me, it makes it really good. There's a place actually where Tony Soprano was, that restaurant, that ice cream place, Holston's. They make onion rings up there. And so, but usually in the diners in Jersey, like if you go to certain diners, Geetz's Diner in Glassboro, I mean, they make great onion rings. And that's why you're going. You're going to get the onion rings. I mean, that scene in The Sopranos is a Jersey special, because you're going somewhere to eat the specific item that they make really well on the bunch of other items that they have on the menu, you know, so it's fun. I mean, I'm a fat guy. We love food.
Michael, we're only an hour and 2 minutes into the show, and we've already had two Sopranos references today as well. So, you know, it's going to be a good day, but this is a good segue, because maybe our next poll we do is where you can get the best onion rings in the country.
Yeah, there you go.
Our poll today is, which rookie quarterback impressed you most with his preseason debut? The results so far have been tabulated with around 1,400 votes. Caleb Williams leading the way at 33.7% of the vote. Bo Nix, though, pretty narrowly behind, just under 28%. JJ McCarthy, 22.5%. And Jaden Daniels at 15.9%. A lot of people in the comments saying we got to give Spencer Rattler his due. Michael Penix. Listen, guys, we only have four spots, so I'm appreciative of people jumping into the comments. And some people think we're hating on Drake May and that we have an agenda against Drake May. I think that the Patriots have an agenda against Drake May, because he only had three pass attempts. Michael, you tell me.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're mad about Drake May not being in this, talk to Mayo. I mean, talk to the front office of the Patriots. Don't talk to me. I'm not the one who wanted to see more Bailey Zappi. Did you?
We needed to see more. We need to see more Bailey Zappi. I mean, what does Bailey Zappi have, Michael? What's he got? We got to know.
I don't, you know, like, what do we need Bailey Zappi in our lives for? There's three preseason games. Look, if somebody gets hurt, okay, we got to put him in the game. But I thought what Dallas did with Trey Lance was the right approach. Mm-hmm. Look, give him all the reps. What do you hope? As Belichick often would say, what are we saving him for? Like, what are we saving it for? Mm-hmm. Show me what you can do, you know, and I think you got to script it. But see, I think with Sean Payton, he had an onboarding plan for Bo Nix. Mm-hmm. I think the onboarding plan for Drake May is we're going to redshirt him. And so there's no urgency. But you got to have an onboarding plan for every single player that you bring into your team. If you don't, you're never going to develop your culture from within. You're never going to develop the team from within. And I think that's a huge mistake. So, look, I'd like to see more. I wish Spencer Rattler was on the list. Spencer Rattler was one of those kids that came out in college that has had all the skills of a quarterback, except he doesn't have great size and he doesn't have great arm strength. I mean, he's got everything you want. He's got the mind. He's got rhythm. His arm's tied to his feet. But he runs five flat. He's got little hands. And, you know, it's a genetic thing. It isn't like we're handicapped against him. And I hope he plays more. I want to see more of Spencer Rattler. But look, here's the lesson of today. And I'm going to borrow from the great philosopher Bill Berman. Everybody just calm down. Like, we're getting too excited. Everybody calm down. Football's back. I'm excited. Bo Nix looked good. Williams looked good. But let's calm down. It's preseason.
I think that, yeah.
Zach Wilson looked really good. I don't know if you noticed, but he looked really good. And that almost discredits, no disrespect to Zach, but that almost discredits when you do look good. Because if Zach looked good, that means anybody can look good. Here's where you get in a problem when you don't look good. When you're a veteran player and you don't look good. That's where I'm a little worried about Trey Lance. He's had people say, well, he hasn't played a lot. Well, he's taken a lot of practice snaps, right? Mm-hmm. He's run the cards for 17 games for the Cowboys. He was due to start for the 49ers in a preseason. Like that, you should look good. It's cover three. It's cover one. We're going to throw it here.
That's why when try to say to me that Trey Lance could be the heir apparent for Dak Prescott, I just can't. I can't endure these ideas and these narratives because there's just no way. He's just not that guy. And speaking of experience, I think that's a notable thing. He's had a ton of practice reps, but looking at the difference from a player who collegiately and in real NFL game time has not had a lot of opportunity to work out kinks versus a player like Bo Nix, who had 61 college football starts under his belt. He's like the most experienced quarterback in college football. So yes, he steps in a system that's made for him to have a little success and operate with ease. He's got a ton of experience. He's 24 years old. They're like the same age. But that's a great, like, what's on Michael's mind today? Throw up the graphic. Everybody calm down. And Caleb Williams is the photo on this. And I think that's a great point to dive deep into as well. Caleb Williams looked great. We love the little flick pass to DeAndre Swift as he takes it down. We love the mobility and his ability to run downfield, all of that stuff. But you know what, Michael? Not too long ago, do I remember watching Justin Fields in a preseason game and everybody thought he was going to be unbelievable. So there we go.
I mean, last summer, Justin Fields threw a hitch screen for a touchdown to DJ Moore. He threw another touchdown pass and Femi was firing up my phone. He was killing me on the phone. I was getting Twitter Femi MVP. He was like firing me left and right. Calm down. I think Caleb Williams is going to be a really good player. I think he's going to be special. But here's what I think we have to understand about quarterbacks. It takes 20 games at least to truly evaluate a quarterback. You can look good. Mac Jones, nobody looked better than Mac Jones did as a rookie. Would you say Mac Jones looked good in years two and three? No. Turned the ball over, made horrible decisions. He won Rookie of the Year. Took a team to the playoffs. Just calm down. It's like once teams figure out what you can do, once teams figure out what you're not capable of doing, once the defense plays differently, right? Once the defense plays with more front coverage, more movement in the front, more blitzes, more overload pressures, make you think faster and all that stuff, like then we're going to find out. But it takes 20 games. So, look, I'm encouraged by Bo Nix. Bo Nix is going to be scripted for success. McCarthy's got a good coach in Kevin O'Connell. Jaden Daniels is going to learn on the job because he's got no choice but to learn on the job. Yeah. Caleb Williams is going to learn on the job. No choice, learn on the job. Meanwhile, Drake May is going to be standing next to Mayo and hopefully he learns something.
Yeah. I feel like we just haven't had football on our television screens in such a long time that every little detail we have, we are dissecting its overkill for the good or for the bad. My husband texted me during the Carolina Panthers preseason game and said, we're going 0-17. Like, that's just how people are right now.
Why didn't Bryce Young play? Like, it makes no sense. Why wouldn't he have played? He needs all the reps he can get. He averaged 5.5 yards per completion last year. Like, they've got the most expensive offensive line in all of football. They need to play. Like, what's the Panthers saving it for? Like, what's Canales holding back on? Like, what are we doing here? We got to get this team ready. We were nowhere near ready last year. Like, if you think we're going to be able to practice against ourselves and be ready, like, that's not going to work. We got to get this team ready. I don't get it. I know we don't want to have injuries. I know that. But I hate to break the news to you. In football, there are going to be injuries. Mm-hmm. I just hate to break that news. Like, there's going to be. We just have to accept it and move on. Like, your season's not coming to an end because the Panthers lose somebody in their practice. Life's going to go on.
No lies detected. And that's a great long tease, by the way, for the end of the show. We're going to go through all of the notable injuries that we have seen so far through training camp in week one of the NFL season, which ones are just factual and which are impactful. But for now, last couple minutes here, Michael, we also had the college football AP preseason top 25 that came out a couple hours ago, as expected. The Georgia Bulldogs, number one, back-to-back years in the preseason. They're also 3-1 favorite to win it all this year, followed by Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, Notre Dame, Penn State, and Michigan. All of those, by the way, match in order of odds where things sit right now. And then things start to get shaken up a little bit. Florida State makes the top 10. Mizzou and Utah getting a lot of respect at 11 and 12. Kansas is ranked in the top 25 for the first time since 2009 preseason. My question to you, and it's a great one that was posted by Brett McMurphy of the Action Network: which preseason top 10 team will finish the season unranked? Because every year, with the exception of 2019, for the last 21 years, one of those top 10 teams has finished the year out the top 25 altogether.
Well, I think Michigan certainly has a chance because, I mean, it's going to be hard to come back. You win a national championship, everybody's a target. But here's what I would say as advice to anybody betting this. I would look at who's got the oldest team. What did we learn from Washington last year? As I sit here on their campus, they were an older team. There was a time, Stormy, when BYU, because of the missions, they were always an older team. They had guys 23, 24 years old. Like Oregon's an older team with a lot of older guys. I think that is really going to separate the men from the boys. That's what I would look at. But I think Michigan, I don't think they're as talented as they were in the past with quarterback questions. That would be my guess.
I think that's a great call out. Last year, it was USC. They were preseason ranked number 6, finished the year out altogether. They're number 23 this preseason. Interesting nugget here about Georgia. 18 of the last 20 AP preseason number ones failed to win the national title that year. Their number one back-to-back years, obviously, were held out of the CFP altogether. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
Got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal, son. It's strictly business.
It's time you and me had a private talk, winger. Step into my office.
It's Step Into My Office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
You know when that door cracks open that there are some people that need some advice or just need a talking to. And we have a handful of head coaches and players who need that sage advice of Mr. Michael Lombardi. So Michael Lombardi, we'll see you now. Mike McCarthy, head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, who steps into what is a quote unquote lame duck season in the final year of his contract after leading Dallas last season to a season that is very typical for the Dallas Cowboys. Unbelievable regular season, failed to do anything in the playoffs. This offseason, meanwhile, has been dominated by contract conversation. Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons. Michael, you're talking to Mike McCarthy sitting in the office today. What does he need to do to take control of this team and avoid being that lame duck coach we talk about?
Well, I think, Mike, the number one thing is I think you have to remind people, and I don't think many people realize this, but you've won 36 games in the last 3 years, right? Like, this team hasn't been to a conference championship game since 1995. Like, this, all the past history doesn't fall on your plate. And I know you don't want to be braggadocious about things, but I think you do need to remind people that 36 wins in 3 years, the last time I checked, that's 12 wins a year. That's really good. And so I think you've got to kind of look at that and remind people that that's what you've been able to accomplish here in your role as the head coach. And then you can't control who's on the practice team. You can't control who's signed and who's not. All you can control is what you've done so far, which is Dak Prescott have his best season in his career, even better. And I know this is going to be sacrilegious to say this to you, Mike, but even better than when Kellen Moore, the greatest coach since George Halas, coached him. So I think, to me, you've got to start reminding people of how much success you've had. I think the hard challenge you have is, how do we get everything together? We lost a lot of our depth. It's in Washington. Dan Quinn took a lot. We got to get this defensive staff organized and get together. It's going to take some time. And I think you've got to explain that to people above you so they understand this isn't an easy transition. I've lost my defensive coordinator. I've lost a bunch of coaches. Plus, I've lost a bunch of players that gave me depth. I think people need to be aware of what you're walking into.
Good stuff, Michael. And let's bookmark this for later that Kellen Moore, no longer joystick, greatest coach since George Halas. That's the way we're rolling with that. There you go. Okay. The Cowboys, by the way, plus 160 in the NFC East. The Eagles continue to get that love, minus 120 odds on favorites in the division. Let's go out to San Francisco. Head coach Kyle Shanahan stepping into Michael Lombardi's office. Speaking of contract issues, 49ers have a couple of their own in Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams, who have yet to hit the practice field with their team. Season opener against the Jets just 28 days away. Kyle Shanahan was asked about the situation, had this to say to KNBR.
I hope it is sooner than later, but right now, I mean, I don't have any expectations. That's kind of how I stay. That's how I stay
sane
and focus on being a good coach for our team. You know, if I sit there and come in every morning and expect something to happen and sit in there just waiting on and thinking about it, that's when I won't do my job the right way as the head coach of this team. So I hope it does. Man, that would be awesome to wake up one day and know we have this solved. But I try to come in each day, and unless there's something relevant or something that has happened that I got to be a part of and really discuss, which doesn't happen very much right now, then I'm trying to keep it in the back of my mind, kind of out of it, and just focus on the players that are here right now.
I agree, Kyle. It would be awesome to wake up one day and know we have this solved. But, Michael, how would you advise Shanahan to block out the noise and prepare San Francisco for a Super Bowl run?
Well, I think this is a great opportunity. I think you have to take the opposite approach, Kyle. I think you have to say to yourself, this is a tremendous opportunity to find out what we would look like if we had two players that we're counting on injured during the season. And that's the only way you can look at that, because you can't control when they're coming in the door. You can't control what's going to happen with their contracts. All you can control is coaching the players that you have. So to me, I think the next time you have a team meeting is basically, fellas, look, we're not talking about Trent Williams anymore. We're not talking about Brandon Ayuk anymore. We're talking about how we're going to play next week. We've got to get our team healthy. We've got to find someone who can play left tackle effectively for us, whether it's Chris Hubbard or someone else who was in the game at Tennessee. We're going to have to find somebody who can fill in for Brandon Ayuk, whether it's Ricky Pearsall coming back off the injured, whether it's Jennings, I don't know. But to me, the mentality has to be within the organization. We are going to move forward as if these players, unfortunately, were injured. I can't control anything outside of that. And we're paid to win. We're paid to find solutions. We're not paid to complain about them not being here. We're paid to find solutions. And you know what happens when you do that? You find solutions.
And there are very high expectations for this 49ers team, the only team in the NFL favored in every single game this season. They're the second shortest shot to win a Super Bowl, minus 195 odds on favorites in the NFC West. Now, the team that they are going to face week one, Monday Night Football, the New York Jets. They're a 5-point favorite in that game, but the Jets would certainly like to have Hassan Reddick out there on the field with them. And he steps into Michael Lombardi's office. Now, he has wanted a contract since before he got traded to the Jets back in April. He has held out from all of New York's offseason and activities and training camp, which has now mounted fines, missing Saturday's preseason game, to $2.39 million, Michael. And this thing is just going to keep adding up. What's your advice for Reddick at this point in the offseason?
Well, they're stupid, Hassan. And we know a lot of players are stupid and they miss holdouts. And that's acceptable, right? You have to make a statement. Sometimes you got to be stupid to become smart. But then there's Le'Veon Bell, stupid, and that's where you're headed right now. When you miss a whole season and give away $14 million, I don't care what the media says, it's a dumb thing to do. And you continually to hold out and collect fines is Le'Veon Bell, stupid, and you need to stop. Like, you're going to, if you miss this next preseason game, that's another game check that you're going to lose. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? This is a never end. You're not going to prove anything to them. You've done nothing for the Jets team. You've done nothing for their team. They want you to be part of it, but you've had no blood, sweat, or toil within the team. Your problems with Philadelphia. And you know what? They saw so much of you. They traded you away. They signed Bryce Huff to replace you because they didn't want to deal with you. So at some point, when are you going to realize the people that you should be most angry with are the team that traded you? Why are you holding out? You should be holding out from them. You should be having a grudge against them. But why are you giving money away? You're at a point in your career you can't give money away. It's the dumbest thing of all. If you ask Le'Veon Bell today, should he have held out? He's already admitted he shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have given $14 million. You're turning around and giving him $4 million every week, and you're not making any progress. You're not making any progress. So at some point, when does stupid become real stupid?
Michael, that's exactly what I was going to say. People forget Le'Veon Bell has come out and said, I regret doing that. That is not how I should have handled that season for me. I also really loved on the graphic that we had for our radio and podcast audience next to Edge New York Jets. There was a question mark for Hassan Reddick because, okay, he hasn't actually touched the field or been to a practice yet. The question mark is warranted. Let's hit another one here. Sticking with football, Deion Sanders, head coach of the Colorado Buffaloes, made headlines last week after a combative press conference. We played the audio earlier in hour one. CU went 4-8 in the regular season last year, barely going over that season win total. We'll talk to Mike Pritchard next segment, by the way. He cashed that ticket and he is still singing his prayers and like grateful to everybody that he cashed that one. What advice do you have to Coach Prime as he enters year two at Colorado? He clearly has high expectations for his team, whereas the world from the outside looking in might not.
You know, I think Deion, the one thing you were able to do as a player was prove it on the field. You know, people didn't like your showboating. People didn't like what you did when you scored a touchdown. People didn't like the way you carried yourself, the sunglasses, the whole thing, the persona of who you were. They might not have liked it, but man, oh Lord, when you got on that field, everybody knew you were a great player. Everybody knew how great you were, and you backed it up. Now, you're going to have to back it up as a coach because nobody's going to give you that. You came into Colorado, you gave them a lift. But now you're becoming a disappointment to Colorado. Now you're becoming a problem. You won't talk to the media. You're putting a bad light on a university because you're now in a hostile environment. You're going to have to go back to being the player that proved on the field how great he was. If you're a great coach and you believe you're a great coach, then you got to act like a great coach and stop listening to the noise and stop reading all the comments about your team. You got to stop that because it's affecting you as a leader. You know, all the religious beliefs that you have are wonderful, but they have to help you impact your life. And you've got to stop listening to the outside noise and just prove it on the field like you did as a player. Nobody questioned you as a player. Nobody said anything. They may not have liked your demeanor, liked your behavior, but they knew you were great. How are you great is how you coach now.
And that's the thing. We all know that Deion can talk the talk. As a player, he could walk the walk. We need to see that with his team now. And we'll get a good sense of who CU is early on in the season. They open the year against FCS powerhouse North Dakota State. Then they're at Nebraska and at Colorado State. We will get a feel of who this team is. Win total 5.5. It is juice -140 to the over. If you want info on the CU Buffs, you want anything when it comes to college football, head to VSiN.com/subscribe. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber. You get our college and pro football guides, which are out now, locked and loaded with season previews, win totals, awards markets, everything you need to know. Again, VSiN.com/subscribe. Speaking of CU, somebody who won a national championship with this program is copping on with us coming up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Locked and loaded on this Monday edition of the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome into the show Mike Pritchard, VSiN NFL analyst, former NFL wide receiver, won a national championship with the CU Buffs back in the day. Pritch joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Always good to see your face, my friend. And we are here. NFL preseason week one in the books. College football starting in 12 days. How are we feeling? Like, how are the vibes? Are you ready for football?
Oh, feeling fantastic. The vibes are there. Definitely ready for football, ready for all the contests, ready for all the betting. Let's go. I'm ready for it. I love the memo, too. I think we're all wearing black today.
Hey.
What's up with that?
Michael, there we go. Pritch, Stormy, and Michael all geared up.
Yeah, you can't go wrong. Pritch, tell us, what contest are you going to – are you joining the Survivor, the Millions? Which one are you in?
Yeah, probably both of those. Putting together a group, I believe, so – definitely want to do it that way. I participated in it over the years and got off to a great start a few times. And then all of a sudden, you know, things happen, certainly with those contests. But they're exciting each and every year, the build up for them each and every year as well.
Pritch, how many are you guys going to enter in? Do you know how many entries?
I think one each for sure. And then if for a group, we could do a like a group one as well. But for sure, one each of three people.
Let me ask you this. Let's start off with the week one, Survivor. What's your inclination here?
That's a great question. I mean, there's so much information you can only receive from the preseason. I think I like to have an edge, though, from a preseason standpoint. You know, continuity is everything, right? And it still boggles the mind why some teams do not want to play their quarterbacks or do not want to knock the rust off themselves with preseason games, right? Maybe they're going to do that in the next two. Who knows? But that first one, I thought, would be a great opportunity for that to happen. We're so far away from what teams are going to look like still. I'm still formulating a plan. I'm still going to map it out like everybody else for sure. But that week one, there's a lot of choices already, you know, and there's going to be some interesting gamesmanship too, I think, depending on how many entries you have, right? Especially if you're in Survivor. I think that thing can get kind of interesting right there. But I heard Mike Palm talk about this, and he's spot on with it, obviously. You know, the quarterlies is really where you want to focus in on with millions. And so if you think you can run the gamut and do that well all year long, good luck to you. Mm-hmm. But if you can focus in and get hot for four games, there you go. You know, there's a chance right there for you to cash out and win some pretty good money.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes millions so attractive, is that right. There are the multiple payouts, whether you're really good or you're really bad, because the booby payout still does exist as sure. Well there, Rich.
Sure.
You mentioned, though, preseason. These teams, what we're seeing on the field right now, are obviously nowhere near what we're going to see in week one, what we're going to see throughout the course of the season. But this is the time, because it's the first time we've had football on our screens, everybody's overreacting and they're looking at these rookie quarterbacks and they're saying this and this and this. Have you had any takeaways from the players that you have seen out there in week one?
You know what? Nothing significant, Stormy. I think what we saw from Caleb, we were going to see that. You know, Daniel's the same thing. Penix, the same. There's the college quarterbacks that are transitioning to the National Football League. What I'm looking for is that next step, though. Like, now that they have NFL film on themselves, and now they're going to be introduced to NFL coaches trying to game plan against them. And that's different in college, right? So I want to see the maturity. I want to see the growth from week to week from these guys, knowing that, okay, yeah, I did some good things in week one of preseason. Okay, week two, maybe they're going to have a different game plan, or whoever we're going to play in the situation. But the coaching needs to be there. The improvement needs to be there, right? And that's the adjustment to me for a lot of these quarterbacks. Can they get better week in and week out, knowing that you have NFL coaching, NFL film, NFL tendencies, all this stuff that's up against you? Now, it's so different than college, right? So now you have to get better each and every week. So I want to see those next steps from some of those players. And then also, you know, I think scoring's down, and I'm in the lab right now. I'm trying to figure out if defenses are that far superior now, or are offenses adjusting, meaning like so much outside zone and so much RPO, right? And I think defenses are built for that now with the nickel defenses, the extra safety, only two linebackers. So now we're seeing a lot more gap schemes, a lot more power schemes, a lot more counter schemes. You know, Derrick Henry in Baltimore, that thing could be interesting, right? With a power running back like that. Josh Jacobs up in Green Bay with the inside zone running scheme and certainly gap schemes and some power schemes running the football. I want to see if that's going to materialize as well, knowing that scoring has been down the last few years.
Mike, I want to pivot here and ask you a question from a player's perspective. Jordan Schultz is just reporting that Hassan Reddick, who's going to be fined over $3 million, has asked the New York Jets, who he's never played for, to trade him. They gave up a third round pick in 2026. Like, what advice would you give Hassan Reddick now after he can't get what he wants from the Jets and they've got a third round pick in 26 invested in him?
Yeah, I mean, it's an unfortunate situation. I mean, there's really no advice to give. You know, I think from a player perspective, your ego gets in the way a lot of times, Mike and Michael. And I think, you know, everybody's ego does, right? From a front office standpoint to coaches to players. And you can only get paid if you're playing. You can only get paid, and you don't want to get paid off your reputation. You want to get paid certainly what you can contribute and if you can help a team win a Super Bowl. And those questions are starting to arise now for this player, right? And is he that difficult? Because they'll move the pile. We know this. Somebody gets hurt. What do? They move the pile. Somebody gets sick. What do? They move the pile. Okay, Hassan, you're not happy? We'll move the pile. We'll go get somebody else. And it's unfortunate from a player standpoint because, you know, you want to maximize and be out there on the field and certainly maximize your earning potential as well as helping a team win a championship. So hopefully he works himself out and gets through this ego thing and this pride thing and gets back on the field.
Yeah, $2.39 million in fines already being collected, yeah. And it just continues to add up. Jordan Schultz, again, the first to report that Hassan Reddick has requested a trade from the Jets, and we see all those other insiders now joining in on that conversation. Mike Pritchard joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Let's stick with the theme of contracts because you're a former wide receiver. You know the position well, and there are a couple wideouts that are being the talk of the town this offseason, Brandon Ayuk and CeeDee Lamb. How should those deals be resolved, in your opinion?
Well, they should get done. I mean, I'm reluctant to say it's going to get done to the liking of Brandon Ayuk out in San Francisco, knowing the history with the family and maybe not wanting to pay two receivers. They paid Debo, and do we have to pay Brandon Ayuk now as well? So, it's interesting because the value for Ayuk is there, though, right, with the trade and the desire for other teams. So if you're San Francisco, you're going to apply pressure as long as you can and try to squeeze whichever team wants Brandon. Like, I don't know if what's on the table is the second round or whatever, but maybe we can squeeze something else out of that situation. And then if you're Ayuk, you just want it resolved. You know that your value is there. You know that you want it as a number one wide receiver, and you want to be paid that way. So San Francisco, they might be rethinking it. Who knows? Maybe they can come to an agreement and still have two highly paid wide receivers and make a run at this thing again. Or they can go the trade route and certainly receive something big in return.
Yeah, let's shift to Colorado as an alumnus. As an alumnus, Mike,
yes.
Don't you think Deion needs to embrace his role and not fight the role?
Well, when you mean fight the role, what do you mean exactly? Like, just
the hostility between, look, the writers are going to write what they write.
Right,
you can't control that. I mean, you can be Bill Belichick and win at 6-8 Super Bowls and they think they're smarter than you. Like, you can't win that battle. They have the chalk last. You know that.
Yep. Absolutely. They certainly have the chalk fast. They have the last word too, a lot of times. And Deion knows that, you know, he's been in the media for a number of years, certainly. And I think as a player too, it goes back to Deion and maybe the media misunderstanding him in regards. Like, the flash is there, we know that, and prime time was there, we know that, and he used the media and he used that to get very, very rich and very, very popular and certainly a Hall of Fame player. I think as a coach, you know, he's playing that game right now too. You know, he's putting it all on himself, to be honest with you. And then this is as an alum and certainly somebody familiar with the situation. If they fail, it's going to be all because of Deion, right? It's not going to be about the kids. The kids are going to move on. The kids have no pressure on them. I think he's distracting that press that's looking to pounce on this program right now. This program was dead. Some people still think that it is dead. but he has revived the program from an alumni standpoint, from a support standpoint, to a level that we have not seen before, ever. And I'm talking about when we won a national championship. So I think he's making it all about himself, knowing that he can handle all the negativity and everything else that comes along with that.
Pritch, you're the man. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Mike Pritchard, follow him on X at MI Pritchard. And the thing with Deion for me is it's not a journalist's job to like or dislike any coach or team or anything. Right. They're just asking questions. It's not their opinion. Let's go.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we had some breaking news last segment from friend of the show, Jordan Schultz of Bleacher Report, letting the world know that the Jets. Well, can we even call him the Jets? He hasn't played yet. Hassan Reddick has requested a trade from the New York Jets. Michael, before you say anything, I want to read the people what you posted on X. Reddick hasn't even played for the Jets and he's unhappy. This was a mess from start to finish. Does Reddick understand no team wants the Jets problem passed along to them? No team wants to clean up this mess. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's never even been in the building in Florham Park. They didn't even have the introduction press conference where, you know, Robert Saleh hands him a jersey and says, welcome to the Jets. We're so happy to have you. I mean, like, this is the most ridiculous thing of all time. And, you know, I don't understand what perception Reddick has. I mean, there's a lot of coaches who were in Philadelphia last year. Okay. Those coaches have a story about Hassan Reddick. It's not a pretty story. Let me say that to you. I've heard them. Okay. It's not a pretty story. And, you know, the Eagles decided at the end of last year that they were going to move on from Reddick and his salary. They were not doing anything with this 1 year. They were fully intent on signing Bryce up. That's who their guy was. We said that in January. I don't know how Joe Douglas didn't know it, but I knew it. And everybody in the league knew it. I didn't report it. I just said there's a team that's going to sign Bryce Huff. I protected it. I didn't say the specifics, but that's the reality. And now Joe Douglas, he doesn't franchise Bryce Huff, which I recommended that he did, because then he could trade him. And Reddick could have been part of that deal, but he didn't. And now he's got this mess. And look, Reddick can say whatever he wants, but and Joe Douglas can say they had it worked out. But if nothing signed, if nothing was changed and there was nothing promised, then this is what you get. I think this has to do with the owner, right? I think Woody Johnson basically has said to Joe Douglas, hey, if you could trade for the player, but cash to cap. Okay, what does that mean? That means how much money we spend is how much cash we're willing to spend. Some teams like the Eagles spend way over cash to cap. Some teams like the Jets spend cash to cap. And I think to me, when they'll take his $14 million into the deal, but they're not going to give him any more money because that goes cash over cap. It doesn't affect the cap, but it does affect the owner's pocketbook. Most teams are cash to cap. And so I think they made this deal figuring, oh, we'll work it out. No, there's no working it out. The kid's lost $3 million. He's going to lose more. Now he's requesting a trade. Like, this is – he's living in an oblivious world. Who wants the Jets problem? Oh, I bet you know, I'm sure Omar Khan in Pittsburgh or Chris Bauer in Indy or Brett Veach is sitting there. Oh, I can't wait to take on this problem. Let me call Joe Douglas and offer a third-round pick so I can pay Reddick more money and lose an asset. Yeah. Are we kidding ourselves?
That handshake deal in April is just bad business, first and foremost. But yes, okay, so let's say, Michael, if you had a crystal ball, you're looking into it. How does this end?
I think he has to report to the Jets. You think he's got to come limping in, you know, but now he's dug it. Now he's put another line in the sand. Like, he's put another line in the sand. Like, okay, they have a third-round pick invested in him right now in 2026. They can't void the trade, right? Typically what happens is before we make a trade, the player has to pass the physical. Obviously, Reddick must have come to the Jets to pass the physical, but you would have thought that once he came in, you would have known that, wait a minute, okay, it's what's happened with Brandon Ayuk. Okay, you want a deal with the New England? All right. Once we agree to a deal with New England, you negotiate with New England. Okay, you got a deal with New England? All right, well, no, wait a minute. I don't want to go there. You don't want to go there? We got a deal with them. Sure. Okay. No. All right. Let's go back here. Now we're back to square one again. All right. You want to deal with Pittsburgh? Okay. Here's Pittsburgh's deal. We can't make a deal with Pittsburgh. It's a complicated thing. This wasn't complicated because the Jets failed to finish part of the complication. Yes, you can make a deal with Philly, but you got to get the player to agree to come to your team.
Again, if you're just joining us, the news of the day here, Hassan Reddick has officially requested a trade out of New York to leave the Jets. We'll have to wait and see how ultimately things play out. But as of right now, he has already lost $2.39 million by not reporting to any of these training camp practices and already missing preseason week one. Now, in the preseason in general, Michael, we talk about how wins and losses don't necessarily matter. What does matter is for the players that are trying to make a team. And players who ultimately get injured, personnel, players who are in and out. That becomes kind of the story of this time of year. And there have been a few notable injuries. The big one that comes to mind this past weekend, Kansas City wide receiver Marquise Brown, new to the team, catches one pass from Patrick Mahomes for 11 yards. He ends up going to the sideline immediately and now has a shoulder dislocation. Andy Reid says Brown will miss some time. Of the week one injuries, this one feels like among the most significant.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, I think, you know, we'll see. He gave it the big daddy line of we'll see for week one. But we know that's not. He had to spend the night in the hospital. It's a serious injury,
yep,
especially for a receiver. It's going to take some time. And look, the season's long. I mean, you know, you win no medals for playing in week one. You know, I think as we learned from the Chiefs last year, that what happened to them after Christmas Day is all that mattered. They never lost another game after losing to the Raiders on that day. So to me, it's a long season. You want to make sure he's healthy first. They're going to need to. You know, I watched a little bit of their preseason game this morning when I came in here. Their offensive line looks better. The left tackle, the young kid from BYU, played the first series with Patrick Mahomes and looked very good. Mm-hmm. So that's a real encouraging sign if you like Kansas City this year.
The Chiefs are a 2.5-point favorite in that season opener on Thursday Night Football against the Ravens, total 46.5. But if Marquise Brown isn't there week one, that could change things potentially for a KC team if you were thinking about buying in on them for a Millions contest or anything like that. Good to note, Millions and Survivor, by the way, Michael, here at Circa Resort and Casino, the best contest in the country, $16 million in guaranteed cash prizes. And while you do need to be here physically in Las Vegas to sign up, you don't need to live here to play. Check out Winner Circle Proxy, VSiN's preferred proxy partner. Winner Circle Proxy is in its ninth year of providing trusted proxy services to the top contest players, including 2023 Survivor and Million contest winners. Plus, don't miss out on Circa's ultimate contest weekend from August 22nd through the 24th. It's packed with exclusive events. You get room discounts, live broadcasts, and more. Winner Circle Proxy clients get special perks. They get monthly access to VSiN Pro right here. Stadium swim passes at Circa, free drink tickets, and a cool sign-up bag stuffer. So head over to WinnerCircleProxy.com now. Book your appointment. Again, that's WinnerCircleProxy.com, VSiN's preferred proxy partner. I know I have already signed up for Millions and the Survivor contest. We are locked and loaded, ready to go. But to get back to the theme of injuries here, Michael, aside from Marquise Brown, there were a handful that we saw. Ambry Thomas, yep, for the San Francisco 49ers. He's one of many. His is the most significant. He has a fractured forearm, but CMC is dealing with a calf. Fred Warner, a foot. Ricky Pearsall, of course, the shoulder. So a lot in San Francisco. Rondale Moore for the Falcons. Look like he's going to be done for the season on injured reserve. What injuries from this past week really stood out in your opinion?
Well, I think obviously the Hollywood Brown one, none other ones, they're all going to come back. I think the significant factor for the 49ers in their list of injuries is they had to cancel their joint practices, yes, against the Saints down in Los Angeles where the Saints are training. I think that's significant in the sense that they were counting on that, but it's the prudent thing to do. Look, you got to get your team ready. You got a tough game against the Jets to open up the season. We're seeing that line opened up at 5.5. It's ticking down quickly towards the Jets, away from the Niners here. So I think, you know, the health of the 49ers is a concern. So getting out of that. But, you know, typically the left tackle for Pittsburgh, the young kid from Washington who they drafted, or Oregon State, who's a very good player, you know, he's going to miss most of the preseason. I think any young player that is missing most of the preseason means that he's not probably going to really contribute until the last 8 weeks of the year.
The 49ers, you referenced their slew of injuries. Last Thursday, had 23 players unable to practice, just a variety of soft tissue things that have kind of gone through the team. So I agree, them missing those joint practices with the Saints is significant. Speaking of the Jets, Mike Williams, according to Robert Saleh, is a lot farther ahead than anticipated in recovery from his ACL, which is good news for Jets fans when you've already had the bad, weird news with Hassan Reddick. I also saw this interesting comment from Brian Daboll kind of ominously talking about Malik Nabers' injury, that he doesn't think it's a fracture. People were calling it a mild sprain. Why are we saying, oh, I don't think it's a fracture to media? That feels like a little bit suspect, no?
I think anytime you have a foot injury for a receiver, it's a concern. And I think to me, having lived through this in my career where receivers have a broken bone or a sprain in their foot, you better be really careful with it. And you better take your time, because all the planting and all the hard driving that receivers have to do at the top of the route, sudden stops, puts a lot of pressure on those bones. You want to make sure you're perfect. They need him if they're going to be anywhere good on offense.
Malik Nabers, of course, the first round pick for the New York Giants in this year's NFL draft. Michael, it is so good to be back. Thanks for a fun show, number one. Let's go.
Thank you, Stormy.
And then we're going to miss you tomorrow because you're traveling. Classic. We will see you again soon.
I'll be back.
That's a wrap for today. We will see you tomorrow. This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Have a great day.